Epilogue. He did look far into the service of the time, and was discipled of the bravest. He lasted long, but on us both did haggish age steal on, and wore us out of act. Shakespeare, all's well that ends well. He was part of my dream, of course, but then I was part of his dream, too. Lewis Carroll, Through the Looking Glass. And what happened in the end? Asks the reader, who has followed Hazel and his comrades in all their adventures and returned with them at last to the Warren, where Fiver brought them from the fields of Sandleford. The wise Mr. Lockley has told us that wild rabbits live for 2 or 3 years. He knows everything about rabbits. But all the same, Hazel lived longer than that. He lived a tidy few summers, as they say in that part of the world, and learned to know well the changes of the downs to spring, to winter, and to spring again. He saw more young rabbits than he could remember, and sometimes, when they told tales on a sunny evening by the beech trees, he could not clearly recall whether they were about himself or about some other rabbit hero of days gone by. The Warren prospered, and so, in the fullness of time, did the new Warren on the Belt, half Watership and half Ephrathon, the Warren that Hazel had first envisaged on that terrible evening when he set out alone to face General Wundworth and try to save his friends against all odds. Groundsel was the first chief rabbit, but he had Strawberry and Buckthorn to give him advice, and he had learned better than to mark anyone or to order more than a very occasional white patrol. Campion readily agreed to send some rabbits from Ephrafa, and the first party was led by none other than Captain Avens, who acted sensibly and made a very good job of it. General Wundworth was never seen again. But it was certainly true, as Groundsel said, that no one ever found his body. So it may perhaps be that, after all, that extraordinary rabbit really did wander away to live his fierce life somewhere else and to defy the Elil as resourcefully as ever. Kihar, who was once asked if he would look out for him in his flights over the downs, merely replied, "That damn rabbit, I no see him, I no want I see him." Before many months had passed, no one on Watership knew, or particularly cared to know, whether he himself or his mate was descended from 1 or 2 Ephrafan parents, or from none at all. Hazel was glad that it should be so. And yet there endured the legend that somewhere, out over the down, there lived a great and solitary rabbit, a giant, who drove the Elil like mice and sometimes went to Silfle in the sky. If ever great danger arose, he would come back to fight for those who honored his name. And mother rabbits would tell their kittens that if they did not do as they were told, the general would get them. The general who was first cousin to the black rabbit himself. Such was Wundworth's monument, and perhaps it would not have displeased him. One chilly, blustery morning in March, I cannot tell exactly how many springs later, Hazel was dozing and waking in his burrow. He had spent a good deal of time there lately, for he felt the cold and could not seem to smell or run so well as in days gone by. He had been dreaming, in a confused way, something about rain and elder bloom, when he woke to realize that there was a rabbit lying quietly beside him, no doubt some young buck who had come to ask his advice. The sentry and the run outside should not really have let him in without asking first. "Never mind," thought Hazel. He raised his head and said, "Do you want to talk to me?" "Yes, "That's what I've come for," replied the other. "You know me, don't you?"
"Yes, of course," said Hazel,
hoping he would be able to remember his name in a moment. Then he saw that in the darkness of the burrow, the stranger's ears were shining with a faint silver light.
"Yes, my lord," he said. "Yes, I know you."
"You've been feeling tired," said the stranger, "but I can do something about that. I've come to ask whether you'd care to join my ousler. We shall be glad to have you, and you'll enjoy it. If you're ready, we might go along now." They went out past the young sentry, who paid the visitor no attention. The sun was shining, and in spite of the cold, there were a few bucks and does at Silfley, keeping out of the wind as they nibbled the shoots of spring grass. It seemed to Hazel that he would not be needing his body any more. So he left it, lying on the edge of the ditch, but stopped for a moment to watch his rabbits and to try to get used to the extraordinary feeling that strength and speed were flowing inexhaustibly out of him into their sleek young bodies and healthy senses.
"You needn't worry about them," said his companion. "They'll be all right, and thousands like them. If you come along, I'll show you what I mean."
He reached the top of the bank in a single, powerful leap. Hazel followed, and together they slipped away, running easily down through the wood where the first primroses were beginning to bloom. This concludes the reading of Watership Down by Richard Adams. Copyright 1972 by Rex Collings Limited. Copyright renewed 2000 by Richard George Adams. Introduction copyright 2005 by Richard George Adams. This book was read by Peter Capaldi. Studio engineering by Samuel Gunn. Directed by Barnaby Edwards. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with David Higham Associates Limited and was produced in 2019 by Blackstone Publishing, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Publishing. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.